today on Real Radio.
The Bible says that there's a forever falling feeling, a bottomless pit where there's fire and flames, but no light, and a place where the worm that gnaws upon your flesh does not die. And the why does the Bible say that? So you don't go there.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called God the Baptist, continues a series called The Book of Acts. The Book of Acts records the amazing journey of the first century apostles. Their ministry began in Jerusalem, but through the promptings of the Holy Spirit, the church begins to spread throughout the other regions of the world. In a message called A Church on the Move from Acts chapter 8, verses 1 through 8, we learned that it was persecution and the threat of imprisonment that caused the church to scatter. Now in verses 9 through 24 of Acts chapter 8, the apostle Philip is in Samaria preaching the good news of the gospel and baptizing with water. But there is a baptism of a false believer who is known for his trickery and deception. Today, Pastor Jack tells us that a man in Samaria named Simon practiced sorcery, and he would amaze the crowds with his demonic powers. But when the people began to believe the apostle Philip, Simon also believed and was baptized in water. But he followed Philip only to see the great miracles he performed, not knowing it was through the power of the Holy Spirit. And now, in his lesson called God the Baptist, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
This morning we're going to be continuing our study in the book of Acts chapter 8, and we're going to look at verses 9 to 24 this morning. And for all of you note takers, and I know that all of you are note takers and students of the Bible this morning, you're going to want to jot down the title of the message, and that is God the Baptist. And you might be thinking, I thought God was a non-denominationalist. And I don't mean it in that sense. God, when it's all said and done, when you read the end of the book that's in your lap, the book of Revelation, you'll find out that God wins. And in the end, every person that's ever been born into earth in some way, shape, or form will experience a baptism. You may be thinking right now in your mind, well, yeah, I was baptized, you know, when I was a baby, or I was baptized down at the beach last week, or whatever. Well, and that's not exactly, although that's part of the baptism we're talking about. We're talking that God has, if you might allow me to say this, has a universal baptism that everyone will be baptized in due time. If you are a believer this morning, trusting in Jesus Christ, that you've come to Him as a sinner saved by Jesus, His grace, His love, His forgiveness, which was shed upon the cross for us, then you have been baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. That's how you become a Christian. That's how the Holy Spirit comes inside you. And then there's the baptism of water that the Bible tells us that we should do once we come to Jesus Christ, that we should be baptized in water. And for some here this morning that might think that you have to be baptized to go to heaven, you need to look at the life of the thief on the cross who was never baptized yet went into heaven. And we're going to see this morning in the life of Simon that he was baptized and yet never made it into heaven. He was in the church. He was very famous, very well known, and yet he never made it into the kingdom of God. You know, Jesus warned us in Matthew chapter 7. He said, many will come to me in the day of judgment and say, Lord, Lord, haven't we cast out demons? Haven't we done great miracles in your name? Haven't we done wonderful works? And Jesus in Matthew 7:21 says, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. And we don't want to entertain things like that. And I know this is my first day back from vacation, and you've had awesome guest speakers, but I come with a message that is not popular. And if you're visiting for the first time, we welcome you, and it's not always going to be like it is today. But I don't apologize for it, because Jesus loves you and I so much that Jesus spoke against hell and of hell more than any other New Testament or Old Testament teacher. Jesus, interestingly enough, spoke more about hell than he did about heaven. Why? Because he doesn't want you to go there. You might say, well, I don't believe in that place. There's a lot of people. I saw a recent poll in U.S. News and World Report that said that 87% of the Christians in America believe that they are Christians and that God is real and that there's an end to come. But 63% said they didn't believe in a hell. Yet Jesus, the one that they confessed to believe in, taught about hell. And you might be saying, I don't want to hear this. Man, I got up, I got dressed to come and hear about hell. Well, you are extremely privileged this morning, I hope to tell you. Because I have searched tape catalogs and church inventories on tapes on hell, and I can't find any. I even called up Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa, my home church, and I said, I need a tape on hell. A tape on hell? What for? Go, well, you know, I want to just kind of get some feel about how pastors deliver messages on hell, to be honest with you. And hang on, runs it through the computer. We don't have any tapes labeled even remotely that kind of get us over to the hell thing. And I look through catalogs and nothing, man. So we're going to hear about hell kind of this morning. We're not going to talk about the attributes of it, but how to get there. I had a guy tell me on the streets recently, I don't want to go to heaven. A couple of my friends have died, and they're total drug addicts and reprobates, and they're in hell, I'm sure, and I want to join them in hell and have a party. And I said, my dear friend, you're not going to be partying in hell. Amen. The Bible says it's a place where, and I hate this feeling. I love to fly airplanes, but I hate this feeling of forever falling. You know that falling feeling? The Bible says that there's a forever falling feeling, a bottomless pit where there's fire and flames, but no light. And a place where the worm that gnaws upon your flesh does not die. And the, why does the Bible say that? So you don't go there. What does Satan say to you and I? Don't believe in hell. It's okay. I'm not here. You don't believe in me. And you listen to the cults, and isn't it interesting that every cult, I'll say it again, every cult does not believe in hell. Every one of them have this in common. They deny the deity of Jesus Christ. They say that you can atone for your own sin nature. Well, isn't that convenient? And they don't believe in hell. You ever hear the Mormon Tabernacle Choir? One of the greatest sounds in the earth. I've been in that, the tabernacle. Awesome. And as beautiful as they can sing, they don't believe in hell. They believe that Jesus and Lucifer are brothers. And yet Jesus spoke and pleaded with people. But there's an end coming to our lives. The letter I got this week from Parowan, Utah, is a beautiful woman who gets our tapes each week, and that's her lifeline. She studies the Bible with us on tape, and she lives there, and her whole community is Mormon. And she was sharing with this one woman how she needs to come to Jesus Christ, or else what awaits her is a fiery hell. And that woman said, look, there's 8 million Mormons who are sincere, and no way would God send them to hell. There's no way. And I agree with that Mormon woman. God doesn't send anybody to hell. We choose that path ourselves. Amen. We reject the love of Jesus Christ. We say, I don't need him. I'm pretty good. I'll work it out my own way. And we deceive ourselves, and we wind up dying not knowing Jesus Christ. And Jesus said that place is a place where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Look that up in the Greek language, which he spoke in. And it means to grind your teeth to the point of breaking your teeth off with pain. And Billy Sunday, the ex-professional baseball player and evangelist of the turn of the century, was preaching warnings on hell in a great crusade that he was having on the east coast of the United States, and a woman jumped up in the midst of the rally and said, I don't believe in hell, Billy Sunday. Stop talking about it. I'm sick of hearing about it. I've heard enough, and I don't believe in it. And besides, you said that it's a place where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, and I don't believe that that will ever be because I don't have any teeth, Billy Sunday. And Billy Sunday said, ma'am, for you, teeth will be provided. Satan doesn't want us to believe that there's an end. Satan comes, the Bible says, Peter tells us, as a lion roaming around, seeking whom he may devour. And if that doesn't work, he'll slip on the garments of a serpent in the garden. And if that doesn't work, he puts on his best clothing, and that is that of a robe and a pulpit as a preacher to lead people astray. This weekend, I had an awesome time. My wife and I, we spent some private time with David and Carol Hocking. And let me tell you, my eyes are wide open to the subtleties of Satan and his trickery. And you need to wake up this morning as we get into the study, and I do believe we'll get into it today before we run out of time. There is an enemy out there of your soul that is absolutely diametrically opposed to the love of God. And his goal is to afflict pain in the heart of God. And how, you might ask, is he going to do that? By stealing your life. Because God loves you so much that Satan can rip you off. And his ultimate joy is that he's twisted that knife in the heart of God. Because he's got your soul. And you might say, well, why doesn't God do something about it? Well, what more do you want him to do? He only hung on a cross and died for you and was beat to death, spit on, shredded. But no fear, rose from the dead 3 days later for you. Amen. And he has given you that choice. We're in this beautiful valley of the Sinawa Indians in Utah, and we met three guys from England. And the group of us, we began to share the Lord with these guys. And they said, I don't want anything to do with that stuff. First of all, it's intellectually bogus. So we began to talk to them concerning God scientifically. And they were blown away. And this one guy said, hey, you know, I've never heard it like this. And all he knew as he began to tell us about his exposure was all religion in Europe. Just dead, lifeless religion and no Bible. And he began to hear the truth. And we talked about the tapes. And he says, oh, I'd like to have some of those tapes. So we're going to be mailing him tapes in England. Because he had never heard the truth before. He had seen religion. And Satan loves to give people religion rather than the relationship that is promised in Jesus Christ. We're going to look at the church in verses 9 to 13 of Acts chapter 8. And mark it down in your notes. We see even within the church the baptism of a false believer. Isn't that sad? In a group this size, statistically, you know, I heard a terrible statistic. 1992 report by Secretary Sullivan from the Center of Disease and Control in Atlanta. This is a government issue report. In America, they say, in black and white print, there is one out of 250 Americans now infected with AIDS. One in 250. Statistically, they said there is out of every 100 men, one man's got AIDS in America. And Siever Coop wrote a report about if you have sex outside of marriage with somebody, or if you're fornicating, that is having sex with somebody, and you're not married. Siever Coop said, scientifically documented, biologically, chemically, that when you have sex with somebody, in their biology, you are having fluid sex with that person and every person they've been with for a 7-year period of time, biologically. Think about that. People are infected. People are dying. And nobody wants to hear the truth. People are saying, well, you know, if you just practice safe sex. Well, let me ask you this. Can you practice safe sin? You can't do it. God says, don't do this stuff and you'll live. People say, I don't want to listen to you. I want to do my own thing and die. And nobody wants to live up and take responsibility for sin. And we are inundated in this day and age with people who have been led a false bill of goods. People are in counseling, people in hospitals who are saying, you know what's wrong with me? My father, it's my mother. That's who messed me up. And nobody's willing. Do you realize something? I don't care what you say about this. If you will not face up to, and if I will not face up to my wrong, and repent of it and walk right with God, you'll never have a healing, ever. You'll never be healed. But see, people want to go out and have sex and goof off and not get AIDS. And when they get AIDS, they want to sue the condom factories. When in Washington, D.C., 800 of the representatives of the condom corporations in the United States, when asked by Gary Bauer and the Family Research Council, would you have sex with a woman? This is a CEO of one of those companies. Would you have sex with a woman using your product knowing that she had AIDS? Great question. I wish I would have asked it. And he said, no way. Don't worry. The voids in latex are only five microns in width. The voids, that's the area where blood and anything else could pass through. Only 5 microns. 3 microns, light has a problem passing between two things that are 3 microns apart. The AIDS virus is less than 2 microns in size. Dangerous stuff. And the human race is infected with the SIN virus, sin. And it comes into the church. Look at verse 9. It says in verse 9, but. You ought to circle that but right at the start of the verse. What does it mean? It's referring back to verse 8. Of Acts chapter 8. We saw last time together that there was great joy in that city as the gospel went out. Everybody was praising the Lord and coming to know Jesus and being saved, liberated from their past and given power, freedom. But verse 9 says there was a man called Simon. That word but in Greek means that he's in opposition to verse 8. He's against it. He's against the joy and the freedom that people were experiencing. Well, who is this guy Simon? We know from church history that his name was actually Simon Magus, M-A-G-U-S, or literally Simon the Magician, or Simon the Magi. And it's recorded that he was the first apostate believer. That is a guy who came forward at a crusade and then went back, and not only went back to the world, but became heavily against the work of Jesus Christ, against the church. And he's right here in Scripture. We come across him in our study of the church. Also this, that he was the first one to receive the title that he was an Antichrist, according to church history. That's written in 160 AD by Justin Martyr. Also, he was known to be responsible for popularizing the cult of Gnosticism. That is the denial of the deity of Jesus Christ. Isn't that interesting? Simon was also responsible for perverting church doctrine in Rome. It's also understood that he was revered by the people of Samaria as a god and that he promoted it. Look at it with me. Verse 9 says, but there was a certain man called Simon who previously practiced sorcery in the city and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great. And by the way, that's self-proclamation. He said so. To whom they all gave heed, verse 10, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. He's a counterfeit, doing it by demonic power. And they heeded him because he had astonished, that's mesmerized, amazed, held bondage the people with his sorceries for a long time. Verse 12, but, and I love that, but in verse 12, because it's in opposition to the but in verse 9. There's a lot of buts in there. But when they, that is the people of Samaria, believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Hey, they were being liberated from this trickery. Look at verse 13. Isn't this convenient? Then Simon himself also believed. Of course, he's losing money. He's losing fame. He's losing attention. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed seeing the miracles and the signs which were done. Did he come to Christ based on the word of God? Did he come to Christ based on the message Philip was preaching? No, he came to Christ based upon the miracles. People are running after miracles today. Oh man, wasn't that a great service? I had goosebumps like almost all the way through the service. Well, that's nice. But was Jesus glorified? Was the word of God proclaimed? Were people converted? Don't go by feelings. Jesus warned us in the last days that many false prophets will come and they will do great miracles that if it were possible, even the very elect would be deceived by them. We need to be careful. Simon practiced great magical arts under demonic power, and there's a great contrast. He was baptized right into the church. If you've been baptized, will you go to heaven? Absolutely not. Baptism cannot save you. Baptism is only a very wet experience that tells everybody around town that you have accepted Jesus as the Lord and Savior of your life. And if you think that you have to be baptized to get to heaven, then you need to study the Gospels and see the thief on the cross who was never baptized and yet went to heaven. Should you be baptized? Yes, only if you're born again. That's why most churches don't practice infant baptism, because you have to be baptized for the remission of your sins. Remission of your sins means that you have the ability to stand up and say, I'm not going to be a sinner anymore. I'm going to follow Jesus Christ. I'm going to walk after him. And I don't mean live a perfect life. I mean come to him by faith. And you turn from your past. And that's why infants can't do that. It has to be a logical decision. They have to be remissing of their sins. The moment you have that in your heart, then you say, yes, you know, I want to follow the Lord into the waters of baptism by obedience because I've given my heart to Christ. Simon was baptized, but he never made it to heaven, and we'll prove this in a moment. The baptism of a false believer. He was enamored with the signs and the wonders. By the way, in verse 12, the word believed, when they believed, Philip, the people believed the message. The word in the Greek means that they clung to the message. They trusted in Christ. And by the way, listen up, everyone. It's the same word that applies to Simon. Same Greek word. He believed the same type of commitment. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? The Bible says in James chapter 2, verse 19, that the devils believe in God and they tremble at the thought.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called God the Baptist. Thanks for listening, and our prayer is that you've truly received Christ as your Lord and Savior, and that you follow him with a pure heart and with the right intentions. God the Baptist, it's part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Acts, a series that brings to light the ministry of the first century church through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. The first church really did indeed have its troubles, didn't it? There was the threat of going to prison in Jerusalem, and then the apostles had to deal with the people of Samaria who followed signs and even sorcery in their search for the truth. But when you think about it, it's really no different than today. That's why it's so important to know God and his word, the Bible, to keep you on the right path no matter what you face in life. And if you go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, Pastor Jack offers a way to help you in your own search for the truth. And the best part is, if you accepted Christ for the first time, your access to a deeper understanding of God is right at your fingertips when you click on the tab called Know God. Remember, it's the Know God tab at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And if you're a big fan of video presentations, Pastor Jack is on YouTube. There's a variety of topics that Pastor Jack shares with us when you subscribe to his YouTube channel. And when you tap on notifications, it'll let you know when a new video comes up. And for even quicker access, you can download the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app for your smartphone or tablet, and then go to his YouTube channel right from that app. That's the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app for your smartphone or tablet. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.